You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. If you'd like to get in touch with the program, you can dial us up, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. Spent a little bit of time talking about the possibility of the Bears getting Russell Wilson. I was Danny Downer because I provided some reality to this. Then I started to wonder, you know, we talk about Bears quarterbacks, and you don't have a great list there. The single season record holder for the following teams with touchdown passes might surprise you. Bears, Browns, Washington football team, and the Jets. The quarterback who has the most single season touchdown passes for the Chicago Bears is? I'll go to the resident Bears fan, Paulie.
It's sad to say I know this. Eric Kramer?
Eric Kramer, 29 touchdowns. The Cleveland Browns single season record holder is McLovin.
Bernie Kosar.
No. Paulie.
Derek Anderson?
No.
Oh.
Anybody else want? That was my.
Brian Sipe?
Yes, Brian Sipe is your winner. 30 touchdown passes in 1980. The Washington football team. Which quarterback has the single season touchdown pass record? Paulie?
On a level of obscurity, is it a 1 or is it a 10? Is it like someone you wouldn't guess or someone like, oh yeah?
Paulie, that's not how it works with a game
Patrick
show.
Ramsey.
No.
Gus Frerotte.
No. Todd.
Heisman.
No.
Mark Rippon.
No.
Jay Schrader.
No.
Doug Williams.
No.
Wow.
Oh, one of the modern guys.
No.
Oh, Billy Kilmer.
No.
Was he there even?
Yes.
Oh, Sonny Jurgensen.
Yes, Sonny Jurgensen.
He's 1,000 years old. He's the all-time leader in touchdowns?
Yeah, nobody's beaten that.
31. 31 touchdown passes. All right. The New York Jets single season touchdown pass record holder. Todd.
Richard Todd.
No. McLovin.
Ken O'Brien?
No. Paulie?
Vinny Testaverde?
No!
Oh. Matt Robinson?
No!
Chad Pennington?
No!
Oh, Joe Namath?
No!
Oh, my God.
The Sanchez?
No! Damn.
Ray Lucas?
No!
Huh. Are you sure?
Yes!
Boomer?
No!
There are no more Jets quarterbacks. This room has gone through all of them.
Oh, Chad
Geno
Pennington?
Smith.
No! And no!
Vinny Testaverde, someone said,
still
right?
Still no.
We're double guessing three times, by the way. Pennington was already named Testaverde.
Joe Namath has already been named.
We need a hint. Like his first or last name.
How about this? I'll tell you the year that he did it. And if nobody...
Oh, I think I have it. Is it 2008 or 9? 2008?
If nobody on that side of the glass gets it, then everybody gets a pie to the face.
I'll get one more guess.
Okay. The year was 2015. Todd, one guess.
I can't think of anybody.
McLovin.
Come back to me.
Satan.
Sam Darnold.
No. Paulie.
Someone guessed Sanchez already, right?
Yes. Yeah. Get out of here. Everybody take a lap.
Oh.
Go. Leave and take a lap. Let's go.
It's not far, right?
It's Ryan Fitzpatrick. Go take a lap. And somebody help Todd, too, because that can't be pretty if Todd's going to take a lap. Get these guys in shape there. By the way, the Players' Championship. I don't know why I stumbled on that, but I did. I thought that was really interesting. Ryan Fitzpatrick has 31 touchdown passes. I forgot he played for the Jets. Players' Championship, Rory McIlroy, PGA Tour's very best, take on TPC Sawgrass. And that coverage starts on Thursday through Sunday, Golf Channel and NBC. Here come the Danettes back. We've heard of a victory lap. It's a loser's lap. Ryan Fitzpatrick had 31 touchdown passes in 2015. Yeah, Paul.
On behalf of all of us, we're not doing this bit again.
If you're out of shape, I can't imagine what Todd is.
I need a little oxygen.
Okay. You're like Zion last night. Zion needed some oxygen. He looked like he was gassed a little bit there. All right, we were doing best and worst of the weekend. We got the back row. Now let me get the front row. Seton O'Connor, let me start with you. Best and worst of the weekend.
My worst of the weekend was on my way to get a haircut with my son this weekend. Found out about Ben Simmons. Gonna go ahead and stop that one.
Ooh.
Put a quick end to the plans of the barber. My worster was Duke basketball, man. Holy smokerinis. It's weird to see.
When I tune in to see Duke, it looks like the second team of one of their good teams is on the floor. And then you realize that's their first team on the floor. I couldn't hang with the North Carolina game that long. I watched first half. Duke couldn't either. But I watched the first half, and I just thought this is only going to get uglier there. Could you make Duke a 16 seed?
Where?
We like Duke in the tournament.
Their team looks like there was a body switching movie that's going on, and they put a bunch of guys like me.
Best and worst, Paulie.
Best and worst on Saturday. I sat down to calmly watch some college football. You know, the FCS 1AA. I was watching like Delaware versus Maine, Southern Illinois versus Youngstown State. My wife walks in and goes, "What are you watching?" I'm like, "College football." She goes, "It's March." I go, "I know. It's live college football." She goes, "No, it's not." She goes, you're lying to me. There's no live college football in March. She goes, even I know there's no live college football in March. I had to prove to her, I had to use multiple things to prove to her there's live college football. She's like, there's not college football, and it's March. I know. Second worst of the weekend is I went snowmobiling this weekend, Dan. Level of 1 to 10 is a mistake, me buying a snowmobile. I don't know anything about fixing them, setting them up. Barely know how to ride one.
Okay, but you have two daughters and your wife, so if you buy one, then only one other person can be on the back, so you might as well buy two, and then it goes from being okay to that's kind of stupid.
Which is worse, buying a snowmobile or buying a jet ski? Or better?
I'd rather have a jet ski.
Really?
Yeah.
Summer fun.
Well, there's always water. There's not always snow.
Yeah. Dang. Do you have to have any mechanical ability to own these type of things, or should you?
Well, you probably should, but I wouldn't have the slightest idea other than, you know, where do you put in the gasoline? Yes, Eden.
It feels like with the snowmobile, the traction part of it, what's that called, like the belt?
The track?
The track, that's always coming off. So you want to learn how, I know that just from watching like Life Below Zero, things like that. If they're up in Alaska, yeah. They're going out hunting and they're going to get firewood. And, oh, crap, the track came off again. We got to fix it. So they do that. If you're out in the middle of the water and that thing goes down, I don't know, you better just float.
Yeah.
Not really fixing that out there.
Yeah, just bring a flare or something like that. SOS, yeah, Paul.
I want to be a snowmobile guy, though. Those guys, they wear those one-piece suits, and they got the helmets,
yeah.
And they always look like really tough and strong, and they look mechanical.
Yeah,
they don't mind the cold.
I did it one time, and it was one of those romantic night trips,
wow.
And there was a group of about 10, 12 snowmobiles, and my wife said, don't get competitive. And I said, no, it's a late-night snowmobile tour, and it was great. And then afterwards, we'd be by the campfire, and we'd have drinks. And so I started passing people.
Of course, yeah. First time.
Yeah. And my wife said, let me off. I said, we're in the wilderness. Let me off. I'll get on the back of somebody else's snowmobile. We're not doing this. And so I passed two snowmobiles, and then I said, look, I promise I won't do it again. I promise. As we're getting ready to come back into camp, and there was one guy that I wanted to pass, so I passed that guy as we, like, right at the finish line. Like, I thought I won a race here. And my wife was so disappointed in me. She goes, does everything have to be a competition? I go, yes. Yes, it does. Yes. Yes, Todd.
But especially if it's supposed to be romantic, shouldn't it be a calm, take your time kind of thing, or taking in the sights and sounds of the wilderness? What would be the point of racing or trying to get past somebody?
You know what would be romantic? When you look over and your man is being competitive, like he's throwing caution to the wind.
Holding an imaginary trophy above his head.
Yes. He wants to win. He wants to beat these guys who don't even know that he's competing with them. That is hot. Yes, McClellan.
I don't know. I've never been on one. I got to admit, I'm a little nervous about this.
I'd rather be on that than an ATV. Those things scare me.
Also, but aren't there, I've heard of accidents of where there's, you don't see the barbed wire. So you got to know, you have a guide, right?
That is true. Yeah, you do. Yeah. But I'm not going through the wilderness where I'm going on a path that's already been established. But sometimes you get those branches that like smack you in the face. Mm. But that's about it. If you buy one, Paulie, buy two.
All right.
I mean, that would be.
Are you in?
No. Oh. No.
That's a hard no.
No. I snowshoe. That's it. That's all I got.
It's a lot of work.
Yes, it is. Tournament bids, Liberty, Winthrop, Loyola, and Morehead State. Punch their ticket. Nets get Blake Griffin. Yay. Giannis wins the MVP. Steph wins the three-point shooting contest. Best and worst of the weekend. Have those for you coming up here in a moment. But the All-Star game was never going to be normal. It was a year after everything shut down. In fact, it was a year ago today. That was when the Indian Wells Tennis Tournament was canceled because of coronavirus outbreak. And we thought, well, okay, tennis tournament, Palm Springs, okay. Day later, Ivy League shut down its basketball tournament. And then a day later, Rudy Gobert tested positive. And then everything shut down after that. Remember the Big East tournament? It was Seton Hall in Creighton, and we had just finished the show. So it's noon Eastern, and I think Tim Brando was actually on the call for Fox Sports. And I think Tim was surprised that they were going to play. And they played the first half, I think, and I just thought, boy, this is such a bad look, man. And then they stopped at halftime. And then that was it. I think that was all the sports we had, but that was a year ago. Does it feel like it's more than a year ago or less than a year ago? Because to me, it feels like it's been longer than a year with everything that happened. But we got the All-Star game in, and the NBA was heavily criticized for having the game. Then two players, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, missed the game because of contact tracing. Team LeBron beats Team Durant. Giannis, 35 points, 16-16 from the floor. Three-point shooting contest was fun. The abridged slam dunk contest was an abridged slam dunk contest. But it's a weird time for sports because, you know, the vaccine does bring hope for all of us. Just going to a game. And the All-Star game, you know, we're not quite sure how to do it. We still don't know how to do it, but we want our sports traditions to return to normal. And I don't know what normal is anymore. But just to enjoy the things, like an All-Star game weekend without having to worry about outside factors, going to a spring training game, going to a football game, just something that seems so normal that we've taken for granted, that we won't be taking for granted for quite some time in our lifetime. But that's all you want. Is how do we return to just going to a restaurant and being able to go into that restaurant and saying, I can sit down and have a dinner. Like the smallest things. And going to a game, I'd love to go to the Masters this year. I love it. I love going there, but probably not going to go. It's going to be limited to the number of fans. Gallery size, but just to have something that says, oh yeah, that's the way it used to be. And it's just simple. But it's not simple or that simple anymore. Yeah, Paul.
I've got all our rundowns from last year at this time, and it's interesting to see what we thought was going to happen. I think it was right when the Big East tournament got canceled. One of our topics that day was, will the NCAA tournament get postponed or play on time? We hadn't even discussed the idea of the college basketball tournament being canceled altogether. And to the point where there's articles going, there's too much money in the NCAA tournament. Yeah. It's way too big. There's too much money for CBS and TNT and all those places. There's no chance you could find articles that the NCAA tournament will be canceled.
Yeah.
And that's 4 days before it was canceled.
But, and it's not like it let up either because we said no chance. And then I remember being criticized by some college football writers. No chance the Big Ten doesn't play football. When I announced that the Big Ten was not going to play football, neither was the Pac-12. And that was how many months later? That was like 5 months later. And then we thought, oh, we'll just move it to the spring. Football in the spring. And I go, that's not happening. Smaller schools, smaller conferences, yes, but that's not happening. And now you got March Madness. They're going to try to keep, you know, close to 2,500 people in hotels that are connected by skywalks, and hopefully we can get this in. Yeah, McLovin.
I saw something about Indiana. There's only one team from Indiana who's in the tournament because the Hoosiers are bad and the Irish are bad. Purdue is the lone hope, and they have the whole tournament. Seems unfair the 1 year they're down.
IUPUI is not in there.
I'll double check. Oh, how are there others? Yeah, I don't know about those.
Butler.
Butler might not be in is what they were saying, but I'll double check that.
Let me see. Jeff in Detroit is back. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Dan, first of all, I'd like to say that I am super-duper sorry. I apologize to your entire audience. This is a family show. I should have hit mute when I assumed that you were on another call, but his phone messed up, and it reverted back to me. I don't take for granted that it's an honor as well as a privilege to call your show each and every day and kick it with you guys. You guys are my brothers. I feel so bad about it, and I am super-duper sorry. What happened was I went over my godmother's house, who has her car literally for 3 days. She hasn't even put a new car wash on it. Somebody broke the back window out and stole her airbags, which prompted the beep-beep out of my mouth. So to everybody out there in Dad Nation, I am truly sorry. What up, though? One time for Chat Row. Listen, Blake Griffin, I'm
wait,
out of
wait.
The
Jeff,
team.
Jeff, God. Jeff, Jeff.
Yes, sir.
They stole the airbags?
Dude, I am sitting here. She's had the car 3 days. It's sitting on side of the house, and when I pulled up, the back window was missing, and it's odd-looking. Walk up on the car. Upon further investigation, the airbag is missing. And this goes out to everybody out there that's listening. Get some type of device on your car that lets you know when your windows break out, because with these new cars, when the window is broke, they can go in and out the car, and the alarm never goes off. They figured it out, and they're stealing airbags. I don't know if anybody else has that problem, but, you know, here in Detroit, it is what it is, brother. It is what it is. Unfortunately.
All right. Yeah, well, keep calling. Keep calling back, Jeff. Thank you. Yeah. I think we caught Jeff with some colorful language there, and that's why he feels so bad. And as a result, I got to punish him a little bit, Todd. Got to teach him a lesson.
You really should.
Yes, and I did. I didn't let him give me his best and worst of the week.
That's what you get.
Yes, that's what I did. He's probably calling back to see, hey, one more. I didn't get to give my best and worst of the weekend.
He's so passionate. He felt genuinely bad.
He's great. He's great. We always appreciate Jeff. All right, we'll take a break here. It's 19 after the hour. And even though Todd doesn't want me to take more phone calls, I'm going to take more phone calls.
I said one or two. I think we don't. It's too many of them.
All right. We'll be back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Tax deadline approaching. And it's really important to take steps to avoid being a victim of tax scams. Cyber criminals, they use social security numbers, filing fake returns in an attempt to steal refunds. Look, it's happened to me where somebody calls up and says, hey, somebody's using your social security number. I go, really? And then the person is telling you, hey, this is what you need to do. Give me your social security number and let me make sure that I follow up with that. You got to understand all the information that we put out there. Cyber criminals keep finding new ways to steal identities. And, you know, it's all in one protection. Norton 360 with LifeLock makes it easy to have protection in the digital world. Device security blocks cyber criminals from stealing personal information. LifeLock identity theft protection monitors your personal information, alerts you if there is a threat to your identity. Norton 360 with LifeLock. You can opt in to cyber safety. Norton.com/Patrick. Norton.com/Patrick for 25% off. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Great reaction to the James Caan interview that's in the newsletter. If you've signed up for the newsletter, you can listen to the James Caan podcast. He, of course, played Sonny Corleone in Godfather. It's a wild, wacky ride, this interview, but Mario's going to keep it in the newsletter again today. If you're a fan of Big Daddy with Adam Sandler, we're going to have a podcast with Sandman talking about that movie coming up on Friday. Also, we have our St. Paddy's Day gear as well. Go to danpatrick.com. Blake Griffin is going to wear number 2 with the Nets, in case you were ready to buy your Blake Griffin Brooklyn Nets jersey. That's according to Shams. Not sure why I care about him wearing number 2, but thank you for sending that to me. Appreciate that. We ask why the NCAA tournament, the first round is going to start on Friday instead of Thursday. Todd did hear back from somebody at the NCAA. The tournament is being later than normal, so we can abide by medical protocols. All right, I'm fine with that. Sounds good. And rightfully so. Yes, McLovin.
Right. Does that mean they probably need an extra day to test people when they get to town?
I have no idea. Yeah. I don't know when you get to town and what the testing protocols are going to be. No idea. It's official. The city of Chicago announces that fans will be allowed back in the seats at White Sox games and Cubs games. The gradual reopening plan, starting at 20% capacity, which for the White Sox would be around 8,000 fans. All right, it's good. I don't know what spring training is like. I toyed with the idea of going out for a couple of games in Scottsdale, but until I get vaccinated, I can't travel. Yeah. Once that happens, then I would certainly consider that. Let me see. Winthrop in North Carolina joining us. Hey, Winthrop.
Good morning, Dan. I got two best this morning. One is I received my What's Up My Home t-shirt, which only cost $10, thanks to you overruling Seton. It fits well, it looks great, and most importantly, my wife loves it. So
awesome.
That's my first best.
All right.
And then my second best is UVA basketball team won its ACC regular season championship yesterday by beating Louisville. And that's the fifth time in the last 8 years under Coach Bennett. So go Hoos.
All right. Well, thank you, Winthrop. Yeah, great reaction. We sold over 4,000 t-shirts when we put them on sale. And we'll try to do this periodically. But, we're glad that people were able to take advantage of that. Barry in Long Island. Hey, Barry. Welcome back.
Good morning, fellas. 5'9", 190. Thank you. My best of the weekend. I hate to pile upon all the hockey talk you guys do, but my New York Islanders, first place New York Islanders. No worst of the weekend. And you guys were talking about the best dunkers you've ever seen. Best live in-game dunker I've ever seen, hands down, ABA Dr. J. I grew up about 15 minutes from the Coliseum, and my dad would take me to watch Julius. Unbelievable. By the time it got to the NBA, his game was even on a little bit of a downslide, but ABA Dr. J, best I've ever seen.
Yep. Thank you, Barry. I only saw Dr. J one time when he was in the ABA, and he was so explosive. He'd get the ball down low in traffic and then just go up and dunk on people. Yeah, it's a shame we didn't get to see him in the NBA with what he was doing. And was he Michael Jordan? That always comes up. Was he Michael Jordan? He was a more explosive type player. He didn't have a jumper. He sort of had a set shot, but if you got him in transition, he was his performance against the Blazers in a losing effort when Portland won its title in 1977 is nothing short of spectacular. He was the best player on the floor, and there was no doubt about it. But having seen him in the ABA, and he was going against, it felt like, Bobby Jones was considered a great defender. And I felt bad for Bobby Jones because he might have been a great defender, but not when he was guarding Dr. J. And it felt like Doc just, he was not taking any prisoners. Doc was dunking on you. But transition, he was spectacular. He just wasn't a great shooter. He had great form, but he wasn't what I would consider a great shooter. Yeah, Paul.
I got his ABA stats here, and they're pretty silly. His second year at age 22, 32 points, 13 rebounds, 4 assists.
Yeah.
But then if you go to at age 30 in the NBA, when he started getting some TV time, 80-81, he averaged 26-8-4 at the small forward position.
And that, I hated this night, this game, when Larry Bird and Dr. J got into a fight. Because I think, Larry was saying 42-6. I think was Larry put up 42 and Doc had 6. I think I might have the numbers right. But Larry was talking trash to Dr. J. And I hated seeing that, talking trash to Dr. J. And then that's when you had, the 76ers. There are 2-3 guys holding Larry and he was getting punched by Dr. J. But I think Larry was saying 42-6. I don't know if Larry's ever talked about that, or at least I don't remember if he ever has. Yeah, McClubbin.
God, we Sixers fans hated Celtics fans, and I assume that was a real rivalry.
Yeah, that was a rivalry. But that was, you felt like if you won that series, you were going to play for a title. You were going to go to the NBA Finals. But you had, I just remember Cedric Toney was just so good. Andrew Toney.
Yeah.
He was just so good. And it always felt like the Sixers had the talent to match the Celtics, but not always able to put themselves, like the Boston Massacre, when they, you blow out somebody in one game, and then we always think, oh my gosh, that's going to have a lasting effect. And it didn't. You just lost one game. Doesn't matter. You lose by 40, you lose by 4. You lost the game. And then that ability to be able to go, let's move on, forget about it. Yeah, Paul.
If you look back and see when the NBA was regularly accessible on TV, it's basically 1980, 81, 82. Everyone could watch it after that. And if a guy like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was 3 years younger, or Dr. J were 3 years younger, more of their prime would have been seen on national television.
Yeah, because when Kareem was Lew Alcindor with the Bucks, we just hadn't seen anything like that. There was absolute artistry with Kareem. A 7'2" guy who had that kind of talent. Yeah, and Wilt was athletic, but he was a physically athletic player. I mean, he was 7'275", which was huge back then. Whereas Bill Russell was 6'9", probably 230 or something, it felt like. But Kareem came in and he had a beautiful touch. Storied career, greatest college basketball player of all time. And he went against Wilt. And then you realized, and this wasn't, prime Wilt, but this was when Wilt was going to be a defender. When he was with the Lakers, he was a rebounder and block shots. That was it. And he went against Alcindor, and you realized there's a new sheriff in town. And that sheriff stayed around about 20 years. Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, Kareem's first year with the Lakers, he's 28 years old. He plays all 82 games like everybody did back then. He averaged 28 points, 17 rebounds, 5 assists, and 4 blocks. And again, that's 75-76. So national TV, there was no regular access to watch him play.
Yeah, there were a couple of guys that missed out on that. Oscar was one of those guys. When he went to the Bucks, he was not the explosive Oscar who was averaging 27, 28 points a game. Jerry West was always in the NBA Finals and usually losing to the Boston Celtics, so he got some notoriety. Rick Barry missed out on the TV era. Rick Barry was a wonderful player. John Havlicek missed out on that. you know, when they were in the mid-70s. I'm sure there's quite a few players that I'm forgetting, but just marquee players that they missed it, you know, by a decade. And had they been able to play, you know, in the early 80s, mid-80s, then, you know, history would have been kinder to them. But, I mean, I was fortunate to watch, as I've said before, the one player I never got to see in person was Bill Russell. But for the most part, I saw everybody else, from Wilt to West to Walt Frazier to Earl Monroe, Elvin Hayes, go down the list of, you know, wonderful players to be able to watch in person. I noticed this when we were watching last night with the three-point shooting contest and watching the actual game that felt like a three-point shooting contest between Dame Lillard and Steph Curry. This is the deepest shots, average distance, the average distance these players shoot their threes. Anybody want to guess which player shoots the deepest threes in the NBA? Average distance per game. Yes, Paulie?
Bradley Beal.
Bradley Beal, no. Ooh. Bradley Beal is not on my list. Hmm. Todd?
I thought of Dame.
Dame is second on my list. McLovin?
I would have said Damian Lillard.
Seton O'Connor?
I guess Luka?
My name is Luka is on the list. He's about seventh or eighth. Trae Young, average distance three-pointer made is 27-7. 27-7. Then it's Damian Lillard. You're not going to guess the third one. I'll come back to that. Steph Curry is fourth. You're not going to guess the fifth one. You're not going to guess the sixth one. Luka is seventh. Kyle Lowry is eighth. Kemba Walker ninth. Fred Van Vliet is 10. Eric Gordon is third on the list. Davis Bertans.
Of course. How did I forget?
Then it's LaMelo Ball is on that list.
Back to his high school days, right? Remember, he used to fire from half court.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. Way too deep in high school for no reason other than to shoot a really deep three. That's why it's going to be a tough day today for a high school coach or junior high coach or a grade school coach, because get ready, when the kids come to practice today, they're going to be heaving deep. You think that they, and they all think they can shoot a three. They all do. Yeah, McLevin.
I don't understand. Trae Young, we had him in studio. He must have weighed 135 pounds. Yeah. How is he hitting 28-foot shots on the regular?
Well, it helps that, you know, he shoots before he gets defended by somebody. But as far as the strength goes, you know, your legs, it's so important with your legs. And that's why when you watch the three-point shooting contest, I always want to see how tired somebody gets with their legs. That when the legs go, you shoot front iron. That's it. Yeah, Paul.
How about this for another terrible rule to downplay the three-point line? Mm. Each team is allowed 25 three-point attempts per game. You can use them at any point in the game you want, but once you're out, you're out. There you go. You get 25 threes a game. Take them whenever you want. It's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
I'm trying to downplay the three.
Yeah, but I can't take away dunks for guys who can dunk. Hey, you only get four dunks per game.
They did once.
Yeah.
College.
I know. Yes, McLovin.
That still amazes me that they banned dunks. Did it completely transform the game or guys adjust?
It didn't bother me visually at the time. I just thought, you know, they think Lou Alcindor is so spectacular, and it helped Lou Alcindor. Because he just kept going to the sky hook. He didn't need to dunk. He just went to the sky hook, made it, you know, refined it even more. George in Ohio. Hi, George. What's on your mind today? Hey, George.
A lot of basketball talk there. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Old timers. Kareem, I think, was the best ever. And Dr. J is my favorite. So good stuff. Good stuff. But you mentioned David Thompson.
Yeah.
I had a couple of questions about David Thompson. First of all, I loved it when he beat UCLA. I was so tired of UCLA winning all the time. It was great when they beat him. Is it true? David Thompson was 6'4", I believe.
Yeah.
Could he stand under the basket and in one leap touch the top of the backboard? Have you ever heard that?
No, and I never heard that with David Thompson. I heard that with a couple of playground legends, but thank you, George. David, actually, there was a great picture in Sports Illustrated where he's actually at 6'4", out-jumping Bill Walton, and Walton was probably 7'1 or 7'2". Bill always lied about his height. He always wanted to be 6'11 because he thought people viewed 7-footers as freaks. And if you're around Bill, Bill's over 7 feet tall. He is. But David Thompson was, I'm trying to think if there was somebody who was around that height that when you watched them jump, you were watching something that you hadn't seen before. And I'm sure that there were players, this is back in 1974 with David Thompson at NC State. But he was just so explosive. And a lot of guys can jump, but the guy who can stand and jump, that's the guy that makes me nervous. The guy who can run and jump, I don't worry about as much. Standing and jumping, I worry about that. All right, we'll take a break. Last call for phone calls. Take a break and tell you what's in store tomorrow right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Saw where Trevor Bauer, the Dodgers' new pitcher, he was facing the Padres, and the announcers noticed that he was pitching with one eye closed. Here is Trevor Bauer talking about that.
We noticed you were closing one of your eyes while you were pitching. For those who are new to seeing you pitch, can you explain what you were doing there?
Yeah, I figured if they can't score off me with one eye open, it's going to be difficult to score off me with two eyes open. So just having a little bit of fun.
Okay. Well, it sounds fun until somebody's feelings get hurt. And I work with somebody who has one eye, one good eye. And it's appalling.
Thank you for caring, Dan. You've always been a big supporter of the BIOEAA, the Blind and One Eye Association of America. And Trevor Bauer is a fun guy, hell of a pitcher, but you know, my people are offended.
And they should be.
Yeah.
They should be. And I apologize for laughing because you have one eye. And
I have two, Dan. One works.
One good eye.
Just to be clear, my people want to be known as people with two eyes. Just one of them decided to show up for work.
Okay. You have one good eye.
I don't want an apology for Trevor Bauer, but if he's going to do this, how about a commitment? Let's go the entire season with one eye.
I think it would be better for ratings if you wore the eye patch.
Actually, it's better for me. It's easier to deal with. But yeah, I like to see him go 162. The whole 162, if he wants to have fun with it, we're in.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, though. You're getting up at the plate. You don't want to see that dude with an eye patch on.
Right. You're not digging
Trevor
in.
Trevor Bauer. You're like, wait a minute. What happened? What's up with his other eye?
Yeah. Oof. Come on.
All of a sudden, Nuke Lelouch is up there.
Yeah. Kind of dig in there. Dig in there. You know, my control's not that good. I only got one good eye.
15 hit batters.
Paulie, where can people donate?
The BIOEAA?
Yeah.
Just go to the website. Everyone knows it. I don't need to rehash it.
In the arms of an angel.
We just need to get Sarah McLachlan.
Sarah McLachlan.
You know, there are people right now who only have one working eye, and you don't realize it because they're not wearing an eye patch.
Right.
Well, you got to lower your voice considerably with that. There are people out there with only one good working eye. You can donate now. And then they show picture Paulie.
Non-paid celebrity endorser? I would love that. I'm not a celebrity, but I'll in this community, maybe. I'm probably one of the more famous one-eyed people in sports radio. In sports radio. Like, you know, Baba Booey's, he's got two eyes.
Yeah.
One of the more famous.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if anybody else in this business has only one good working eye.
Wesley Walker, you know, the wide receiver from the Jets, one eye.
I don't know if he's working in this business.
Yeah, but as far as athletes, pretty famous guy.
Here it is. The other. There are a lot of people who have only one good working eye. Now's your chance. You can donate. And you can help this little guy, Paulie. Maybe you can see yourself donating.
See yourself?
Yes.
That's fine.
Thank you.
My bad eye is getting all teared up. You can't see it because of the patch. It protects my image.
Please consider giving.
Patches all around. That's what we say.
You can make a difference.
And this is, they're going through a montage of Paul's pictures, and he's looking at, like, leaves. Yeah, he's often...
Foliage.
Yeah, foliage. Yeah.
There are benefits. You only have to pay for one in glass on the glasses.
Paulie got tooliage, not foliage, because he only had one good eye.
Wow.
I'm just like, tooliage. It'd be nice if I had two good eyes to see foliage.
We save lots of money on Visine. Mm. You only do one eye.
Oh, boy. Phil and
didn't
idiot.
Didn't we go to... Wasn't Pixels? Was that in 3D?
Yes.
And you were like, this is useless.
Paulie put on the glasses at the movie premiere.
If you're blind in one eye, you can't see 3D, which is a shot.
He goes walking in, he gets the glasses. He's like, oh, great. This doesn't work at all.
Paulie had him down, you know, like a grandmother, you know, is reading.
Yeah, and then I'm getting a headache and getting nauseous because it's blue and green and double vision.
No, the movie was good. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, Sandler's like, hey, what'd you guys think?
It's good.
Yeah, loved it. Yeah. Phil in Indiana. Phil?
Hey, Dan. Always a pleasure. This is, by the way, this is where I come from. My hard-hitting sports talk is you guys. I love it. real quick, Dan. So two things. Number one, the best of the weekend I thought was the All-Star game. Having it all on one day, it really kept my interest versus spread out over 2-3 days. So I thought that was really good. And then two dunkers, Dan, that kind of changed the technology of the way they construct baskets was Daryl Dawkins and Shaquille O'Neal. Shaquille O'Neal was the reason they went to breakaway rim. So always good to talk to you, Dan. Have a great week, buddy.
Thank you, Phil. You know, you're right. Daryl Dawkins famously shattered a backboard there. And Shaq certainly got his money's worth when he dunked. Let me see. Jason in Iowa. Hi, Jace. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. Nice to talk to you guys. My best of the weekend was the Iowa Hawkeyes winning their 37th Big Ten championship in wrestling. The worst of the weekend was the family not there to really celebrate inside of Penn State.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Jason. Kyle in California. Squeeze you in there, Kyle. What's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on, DP?
Hey, bud.
I think the All-Star game, you know, if you're watching it for the right things, it's so fun. The little Chris Paul, James Harden, yeah, last night, that's real. CP, like, running up from behind, stealing the ball, and then him trying to nutmeg Harden, and then you got Rudy Gobert flexing on people. You got the Dame and Steph. They're smiling, but they're really like, ha-ha, that's very funny. And really, though, the real question that came out from this weekend is, has MJ ever gone 4-0 as an All-Star game captain?
Wow. Wow. Thank you, Kyle. I don't know. I don't know if he's been as successful as Michael Jordan has, or as LeBron has. That's a great point. LeBron gets credit, of course, for building that team. He was the GM. Todd, let's go around the room, starting with you, on what we learned on today's program.
Cassius Stanley was in the dunk contest last night. He doesn't have a dunk all season.
Yeah. He did get ripped off that first dunk. McLovin?
Howard Beck says the only thing you can count on the All-Star Game, three-point contest.
Seton O'Connor.
I'm looking forward to our first radiothon for charity for the BIFAOTC.
One good guy, eye guy.
Yeah.
Paulie?
Dan, the One-Eyed Community of America would like to thank you for your support.
What we learned, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz vans. They go far beyond from customization options, cutting-edge tech, five-star sales service, financial support crew. Yeah, I think I'm done. One more item. We close out this Monday show. There's one thing we face every morning, and that is, well, there's a lot of things we face, but the one thing is you got to start your day ready to go. As soon as you hit the ground running, you got to be running fast. M-Drive, the everyday supplement for guys with drive, guys who refuse to let age beat them like me. This is what I use. Now, aging is inevitable, but you can still feel young even though you're getting older. M-Drive is packed with powerful ingredients backed by science. You're energized, you're stronger, leaner, you feel like working out, you eat healthy. M-Drive has a lot of different supplements. Go to their website. And you're also able to get M-Drive at Walgreens and Rite Aid and Vitamin Shop. 60-day money-back guarantee, free shipping. Go to mdrivedan.com. Energy, strength, drive. It works for me. It can work for you. Go to mdrivedan.com. Don't let age beat you. Make sure you refind your prime with the great folks at M-Drive.